Is it working? Yeah. The recording is on, sir. And there is no way to block that sun, except to buy some drapes.
Not yet.
Not yet.
We might have to buy some shades to come down.
Okay.
Trust me, from what I hear at your next meeting, it won't be a problem.
Okay, let's call for a moment of silence, please. Stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, just a bit of housekeeping. If anyone has a cell phone or other electronic device, we would appreciate it if you would turn it off while the meeting is on. Gary, who is going to do the roll call?
Jeff.
Jeff is going to do the roll call.
I'll do the roll
call. Jeff, could we do the roll call?
I'm the acting city clerk. Charlie Hawkins.
Here.
Dennis Olison.
Here.
Bonnie Onion.
Here.
Harry Robinson.
Here.
Clark Kottner.
Here.
And I know Paul Greeno has requested to be excused. I don't know about it.
And I believe that Ken has.
Ken asked to be excused as well.
I'll move Paul. We excuse Paul Greeno.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. We have a motion for Ken, please.
Second.
All in favor for Ken?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay. Carrie? Okay. We have no recognition awards or audience participation. Did we have any sign-ups on the audience? Did anyone sign up for this evening?
Nobody on.
Okay. Is there anybody in the audience that would like to address the council? Seeing none? Okay. Jeff, any written communication?
As far as I know, there's an email dated October 1st from Daniel Tepper regarding the Whatcom Active Transportation Summit.
Thank you. Okay, next item, commission, committee, and board reports. Clark, do we have any for the Blaine Economic Development Advisory Committee?
We had a meeting last week that we have a meeting on
Ken's not here for the Northwest Economic Council or the Blaine Tourism Advisory Committee. Bonnie, how about the Blaine Chamber of Commerce?
I went to the meeting this past Wednesday, and there was an insurance fellow who spoke about business insurance, and there was not too much in the way of other news.
Okay. Thank you, Bonnie. RED Loan Committee, Bonnie or Jeff?
We're having a meeting.
We've been trying to schedule.
Yeah, hopefully this Thursday.
Well, it's Bob's anniversary.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
So we're going to have to go back to the drawing
board. I'll wait to hear from you then. Yeah.
A meeting is going to be scheduled.
It's going to be scheduled.
Okay.
WTA board, Paul is not here. Drayton Harbor Shellfish Advisory Committee, Charlie. Okay. Senior Center Liaison, Dennis.
They've got a number of things going on. Saturday is a rummage sale. November 9th is all you can eat community spaghetti.
getting feed, and then the pancake breakfast was 20. Okay, thank you. Dennis? Planning Commission, Michael Jones.
No report, sir, and no report from the Park and Cemetery Board.
Small Cities Caucus, Gary, I don't think we...
We haven't, there hasn't been a meeting since the last meeting that met here, so there will be one coming up.
And I have nothing for the Whatcom Council of Governments. Okay, let's go on to the City Manager Staff Reports. Thompson?
Okay. Bonnie, just to back up for a second, do you want to say anything in COG thing about the letters that we sent that Harry signed, or just do that some other time?
Yeah, well, yes, we sent letters to Burlington Northern, WashDOT, John Seibold, and Greg Alvarez,
and Greg
with
Alvarez, yeah.
The Homeland Security, the border. Stating a wishing for their support for monies to be spent on, in particular, relocating the Bacchus, the X-ray machine, which slows down the trains going south and blocks Bell Road. And so we had a, Gary wrote an excellent letter just outlining all the concerns and from safety and health and safety mostly. And that went off, I suppose. Harry, you signed it,
yes.
And that letter went off, so haven't heard any response.
No, we haven't.
But next, is it this Thursday? There's
the
a meeting?
The next COG meeting, is it the 18th, I think?
So it's not this Thursday, it's a week Thursday. There's going to be a COG meeting with John Seibold is going to be there, and they're going to spend a good hour talking about rail improvements, rail issues. We're also going to bring up, and we did in the letter too, I think, part of it dealt with the possible train stop here in Blaine as well. So Gary's going to attend that, right? I'm going to be attending.
Mike Haslip, I think.
Yeah, anybody.
Raven.
Yeah.
When is it,
or
when
someone
is it?
From Raven's office.
The more the better, just to...
Is that going
to
be in the afternoon?
No, it's in
no,
the
it's
morning.
No, it's in the morning. It's from 9 to noon, and I think the... I think it's going to be like from 9 to 10, the discussion on rail.
What's the date on that?
18th.
I think it's the 18th.
Yeah, at the COG offices. So, yeah, that's a pretty important meeting to get a face-to-face with John Seibold because he's got his fingers on the money that, a pretty large sum of money that's going to be spent on rail issues between Seattle North all the way up. So this is a window of opportunity to try to get the Bacchus machine moved. Not directly, but didn't you mention something in the letter?
I mentioned that.
Something about schools?
Yeah, it's a real thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's in the letter, but...
Yeah. 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 He didn't mention breakfast specifically, but I know that. Yeah, I know. It is a big issue from a lot of different standpoints. But I think the letter really pointed out the most major ones. And hopefully, we'll get his ear.
We're going to have a new representative. After the election?
A new representative.
For the federal government. Larson's no longer going to...
Oh, well, they changed our
yes,
the boundaries,
yeah.
And so it's going to be... Is it Cotner? Costner?
Yeah.
And Del Bene, one of those two.
And I would almost think that we have to start shifting our attention to those two people until they're elected. Larson, I assume, is going to not be actively involved in or is...
Yeah, probably not as much.
Not as much.
I
still
know
can
Rick,
be.
He'll stay in, I mean, he'll still be there for us if we need him.
Yeah. But maybe we should send copies of those letters
to them?
To those and say, you know, this is an issue that you might want to become aware of, and you know, if you do become elected, we're going to be calling on you for your support.
Mm-hmm. Might not be a bad idea.
Okay.
Oh, it's my turn?
Yes, sir.
I'm not used to having a computer. It's the first time I think that I've brought a computer to a council meeting in 12 years. And the only reason I have it is because we can't communicate with each other like we normally do. Lined up.
Yeah.
I can't kick anybody. So I'm we're
shoot
we're,
little.
So if I want them to shut up, I have to type an email.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's start with, as usual, with Public Works and Raven.
Good evening. A few projects to update you on. First of all, I'll let you know that Marine Drive is scheduled for paving tomorrow. So after tomorrow, we'll have a nice blacktop on that one. 8th Street is in the midst of a road closure. If you hadn't seen today or had tried to use the bridge, we excavated about 4.5 feet of muck adjacent to the bridge on the west side of the freeway, and are going to be filling that back in. Hopefully we'll solve whatever issue has been causing that chronic settlement. We figure that that road has probably settled over time about a foot to a foot and a half, if judging from the sidewalk and judging from what was underneath there, I can see why. So unfortunately, we are not going to have the funds to do the east side. I think you recall we had, the mayor wrote a letter to WashDOT asking him to help us with some of that funding, and that didn't come true. So anyway, so that once we are done with this road closure and we've backfilled adjacent to the bridge, the plan, if the weather holds, is to pulverize the pavement, spread it with new gravel, and pave it. And they want to do that in pretty much a 3-day operation. They don't want to have to keep the road gravel based for very long.
So that'll be closed 2 more days? The road will be closed a couple more days?
They have actually an allowance for a 10-day closure.
Oh, there you go, John.
That is in their contract. That enabled us to get the pricing that we did on the project. Whether they use that full 10 days all at once or if the weather turns south, they decide to open it up again, we'll hopefully know that really soon. And you'll see in your later on in your agenda, you'll be approving a closure of Peace Portal Trail, so we're happy to report that. Wanted to let you know that we've had some progress with our negotiations with Puget Sound Energy on the service area agreement. We met with them last week, and I think the area of most concern, East Blaine and our watershed, we've gotten to relative terms with. We're still working with their contracts person, and they're going to be providing some input later this week. So it sounds like this particular agreement with Blaine has sifted higher on their priority list, and we're getting some of their attention. So that's great to report. Last meeting, I let you know that we received a CERB grant from the state. It's for downtown revitalization type of stuff, and that's about $18,000. For that grant, what we've decided to do is about half of the grant will be going toward a change order for the 8th Street project to allow for some of the shrubbery and plantings and things that we had in a bid alternate that we were not able to award. So we've renegotiated that with the contractor, and we're excited to see some of the landscape beds that you see are empty will be filled with vegetation, as well as some of the areas around the intersections, which right now just have soil, will also have vegetation. The remainder of that we're hoping to use for downtown bench replacement. As you know, the benches in and around downtown are all in some kind of state of disrepair. They're maintenance intensive, and our priority for us, we're actually hoping as a part of the budget process moving forward, that you might have an annual item for kind of a downtown, whether it's benches or bike racks or something, to really kind of continue to improve and maintain what we already have downtown. So we're going to hope to kick that off with the other portion of this CERB grant. I also wanted to let you know that, as I think Gary emailed you, we're not going to ask for an executive session this evening. I just wanted to let you know that I did meet with the Martins last Friday on their property, and Councilmember Cotner was there as well. We had a good tour of the property and got a lot of history of the family, and we're the next step of that is to meet with them and their attorney, be with Gary Tomsic this Wednesday evening. So we're hoping that some of that relationship that was established will carry forward, and hopefully we'll have some good news for you at your next meeting. And then finally, I was going to give you a bit of a presentation on conservation, if that's something you're ready for. If it's okay with you, I'll stay seated.
Sure.
Just because we've already had a couple of technical problems unplugging and plugging in my computer this evening. So it's kind of hard for me to give a conversation presentation just on power. So I actually have a few slides on our water program as well. So that's kind of the outline for this evening, just to talk to you a little bit about both programs. So as you probably are aware, we do our water conservation through an interlocal agreement with Birch Bay Water and Sewer, where we pay a portion of Emily's salary over there. And these are some of her accomplishments in the last year. Through the American Water Association. Oh, of Washington. Sorry. I'm like, wait a minute, I should know this. The Pacific Northwest chapter, she received an Excellence in Conservation and Communication Award. And I actually have some examples of the media and communication efforts in a later slide. In addition, she, at a whim, I guess, decided to submit our water, and we got the third place award. So that's pretty cool as well, especially for water that's groundwater derived. As you know, some of the issues that Ferndale's having right now, that could be a challenging thing to overcome. And we're very proud of that. We did tours of our Lighthouse Point facility for World Water Week this year. Those were open to the public and were successful. We participate as an active member of the Whatcom Water Alliance. It's actually includes folks from Bellingham, Sumas, Everson, essentially all the water purveyors, Linden, Ferndale, and so on, participate and cooperate in conservation efforts. Emily did two rain barrel workshops as a way of trying to save water by using rainwater. Next year, she's going to be doing workshops at the Blaine Senior Center, and we have an example of a rain barrel installed at the Blaine Senior Center this year. And although we didn't have to do a lot of it, we do promote a voluntary watering schedule each summer. So this is kind of a cute example of what our program starts with. Starts with kids. Getting kids aware of making change sometimes is the way to make change happen. And this was our annual fourth grade awareness poster awards contest. Winners for first place were Sky Malasco, second place Rachel Johnson, and third place Jillian Templeton. So we're very proud of our kids. Very impressed with some of these fourth grade work. And as I mentioned, here's some example of our media distribution. We do these water saver leak kits we have for distribution in public works. We do an advertisement for the weekly water usage trend, and the Save Your Water is an example of a banner that is put on the WTA bus each summer. And this kind of tells you that our efforts are working. As you can see with the green line here, even though we still have peaks and trends depending on the weather, overall, consistently throughout 2012, our water usage has been reduced over the two prior years. I think the little peak you see late in the season either is a fluke or just finally people giving up on having brown lawns or something like that. I'm not sure. And to kind of tie in some of the importance of water conservation, this slide is probably something you already know, but every bit of water that comes off the tap at some point in time ends up in our wastewater stream. So by reducing the amount of water that we consume, one way or another, we are then reducing our waste and hopefully our expenses at Lighthouse Point. So it's a really important connection. And one of the reasons why Emily's starting to get involved more, because we have been so successful with conservation, she's actually been helping us most recently. She created a brochure, and I did such a bad folding job, I was embarrassed to bring it with me today, but we're working on a brochure that kind of highlights Lighthouse Point, and once she's done with this, we're hoping to get a similar kind of highlight on our website. Something that really shows our wastewater customers exactly what they've invested in. We have high wastewater rates, but we're also doing something really neat to that facility, so I think it's something that we should brag about. This slide, and I apologize, it's a little bit blurry. It was actually, the source was a little bit blurry, but I'll tell you what it's highlighting is that essentially the two blue colors, the really thick blue color here, and then the blue right below it, talk about domestic water uses. And so it really shows how, in terms of our energy consumption, so now I'm segueing from water conservation to energy conservation, the primary amount of energy consumed is with residential wastewater and water. And so I thought that was pretty interesting. Primarily relating to heating the water and also treating the wastewater. So two very important and high ticket dollar numbers for energy use. So like I said, kind of segueing a little bit, I'm totally missing out on all the wonderful points I was trying to make, but I think I'm doing okay so far. The real highlight of our energy program is made possible by our partnership with Bonneville Power Association. The program is 100% funded with conservation dollars that are made available from Bonneville Power. This annual allocation is based on our Tier 1 cost allocator, which is one of the things that Marcus shared with you when he was up here a couple months ago. The way this works is that any money that is not spent on a conservation program by year's end has to be returned back to BPA. Our program has been so successful, not only have we used all of what we've been allocated, we have actually been able, through interlocal agreement, to take advantage of some of the PUD money. As you know, we did an interlocal earlier this year for 2013. So we are not only taking advantage, but we are furthering what has been made available to us. So energy efficiency, at its most fundamental level, reduces bills. A kilowatt hour saved is a kilowatt hour we don't need to purchase. These efficiency measures that BPA promotes meet rigorous cost-benefit requirements. And I brought some examples. I didn't really want to fill up slides with them, but I can just toss these through and then maybe Jack will pick them up again. To just give you an idea, for every type of use, they have a different component that is, those are all different parts, so they all kind of say similar things. This is how BPA has determined what is cost effective. So for things that they feel have a good cost benefit, they have a certain allocated amount that they attribute toward it. For Blaine, this mitigates our power purchase requirements. As you might remember, we're facing future Tier 2 power purchases, and so this program in energy efficiency is a very low-cost resource for us to defer, hopefully defer, that Tier 2 power cost. And finally, energy efficiency projects contribute to our local economy, because for each one of these projects, that I'll share with you shortly. We have a local contractor doing the work. So as you can see, I'm passing around that there are incentives made available for all of these different facets of our population. Our conservation coordinator works individually with the interested party to identify what works best for their situation. Because of limited funding and technical expertise, to this point, our program has focused primarily on appliance rebates and lighting rebates. And so I'll give you a little bit of an idea of where those savings lie. So for appliance rebates, you could see that 2010 was really our bang-up year. Common appliance rebates for typical residents include Energy Star washers and dryers, freezers and refrigerators, as well as air-to-heat pump conversions. A total kilowatt saved for the last 4 years has been about 20,000 kilowatts. Lighting rebates, on the other hand, offer a much bigger bang for their buck. They occur primarily in the commercial and school setting. Common upgrades have included more efficient fluorescent ballast, compact fluorescent bulb exchange, and LED bulbs for refrigeration cases. Notable customers include projects with the Blaine School District, Semiahmoo Resort, North Walk and Fire and Rescue, Nature's Path, and the U.S. Post Office. So they have saved, in the last 4 years, almost 2 million kilowatts. So kind of a little bit to illustrate that appliance rebates, while we're working with many more people, they only account for about 1% of the rebates that we've offered, or the kilowatts that have been saved. We have several lighting retrofits for commercial customers in the works, and we have offered a $35,000 track and tune measure to Nature's Path. We're currently working on the contracting measures for that. With the PUD money that was allocated to us, we are kicking off a new program with Bonneville Power called Energy Smart Grocer, where we just approved a $30,000 measure for a local convenience store. The program provides refrigeration and lighting incentives to mini-marts, gas stations, and large grocery stores in our service area. We anticipate continued interest in the program as we branch out into other areas that it can offer. The one thing else I will say to that, Sherry has also been working with the ESCO contractor scoping process, and I want to talk to you a little bit more action items about that. So she has been keeping very busy lately with conservation efforts. Any questions?
Did we approach the
chocolate
factory?
I'm sorry?
Did we approach the chocolate factory?
I don't know the answer to that question. I can certainly find out right now.
Have we done City Hall?
As in this City Hall? we have done a lighting survey of the building. But with the ESCO contract kind of in the works, we've been kind of letting that go through its course. The reason being, I'll talk to you about this a little more in our action item, but if we get this state grant, or to qualify for the state grant, we actually would do better to have more of a local match. So anything that I have that is energy saving that can possibly qualify for that program that might already be budget or might already have a funding source, we're kind of holding back in the back line, hoping that we can then include that as a local match and score higher on the grant. So yes, definitely we are looking at the city.
You know, maybe as a leader in this field, maybe we should be looking at solar panels.
Certainly a possibility. What at least our early indications show that the lighting retrofits around the city, like street lights to LEDs, would provide a much greater savings than solar panels on the Banner Bank building.
I don't have the details on it, but I was watching one program on TV,
mm-hmm.
in which solar panel company was offering, provide the solar panels for free, provided they shared over a 10-year period, you have to send a 10-year contract, provided that you allowed them to share in the savings that occurred. And so it just dawned on me that perhaps maybe we should be looking at what opportunities are out there for that type of...
Well, do you have a link to that program? Or
no, it was a TV program, and I don't even remember exactly. But I assume if you went on the Internet, that perhaps maybe there are stories like that out there that we could... I'll take a look as well.
Well, one of the things I hope to put in the 2013 budget is a item on exploring what we may as a city do for power generation. And that's kind of along that line, because I think we have a lot of land and we have a lot of resources in Blaine, and with our own electric utility that's facing a tier 2 threshold, exactly. I think we need to look at any alternatives available. Yeah. So solar would definitely be
But I also think that the state of Washington has grants that if you will convert over to a solar panel. So I think we should explore it.
Very good.
We do it, maybe the rest of the community will start thinking about it.
Yeah, that would be neat. Thank you. Okay, this is a test in technology.
Dennis, did you have a comment?
Yeah, she's done with the conservation part. Are they building homes now on the Great Harbor in that area where the STEP program
is? Yes. Yes, they are.
And is that line then connected to the city?
It has been installed, the meter has been put in place, and it has been accepted. As of yet, I don't know that we've received record drawings of the installation. But yes, the line is in.
And it's under Dakota Creek?
Yes.
Okay. You know, I marvel at technology. Public safety report. Mike is in China, and I've been talking to him. He's been in China. He and I've been emailing back and forth. And his report is basically that the police department, they're in the process of conducting the oral boards. For the position openings that they have. We have three positions open right now. And so we're in the process of trying to either hire a lateral or laterals or select candidates to attend the academy. We're down right now to 7. Officers, and so it's going to be a challenge to keep up with the service levels that we're used to with that many officers. And Mike also says that they're in their winter preparing their winter operations plan right now, and so that was about it for his report, except that Louie's parents are feeding them well.
No.
All right. Let's go to Michael, Community Development.
The new City Hall update has been a recurring item on your agenda for a while. There's a lot less to update you on these days than there has been, but we are still working on a number of fronts, including the sign for the lit box out front. We've been going through a variety of proofs, and we keep making it better, but that means we keep having to push off installing it. There was one thing, and I'm sure Councilman Hawkins has noted there on the side of the stage, and there's also on the side of the stage over here next to where Mr. Greeno sits. There's a small rail to keep the chair from rolling off or potentially rolling off the stage. I would just note those for you because they have the potential to be a bit of a trip hazard. But they are marked with some yellow and black tape, and the main thing there is to keep the chair from sliding off the side. That was our an alternative to a great big guardrail like you have behind you. Really, other than that, there's not a lot to report. Like I said, we're continuing to do a bunch of little things. There's some small signs that have been coming up, and we will talk with you soon in the budget process about some of the things that you may want to do next year. Clearly, during the meeting earlier, the bright sun was a challenge. I have it on pretty good word that in 2 weeks it will be raining, so it won't matter. But we will obviously have to either change. You can change those blinds out for solid ones. These have holes in them, and when they're solid, you can't see through them, but you also don't get the sun. The other option is some kind of either curtains or blinds to pull down behind them or something. We could tint the windows also, but I don't think that would do great things for the view, so that is there's another possibility. But obviously, it was very bright in your faces earlier. Did you have any questions about anything in particular related to the building?
I would like to see us get a flagpole up as soon as we can. I guess the one we want to put up is we want to put up an automatic one because we've had, they lower the flag so often in the state and between the federal and the state government that we have to bring out the bucket every time, and so it makes sense to have an automated flagpole. But I just think that's one of the things people look for at a city hall is the U.S. flag, and we should be flying the Washington flag as well. So I don't know if there's a way if we have any money at all to do that this year, in this year's budget or not. But if we can find a way to do it, I'd like to do that. How do you all feel about it? I just think it's at a government building, I think we need to have that and shouldn't wait too much longer for it.
There is no money left in the project budget. We would have to talk about other possibilities. That project budget is essentially right. Tapped. Yeah. And, of course, as we talked a little bit before the meeting, our idea was to do the flagpoles and the sign and adjust mm-hmm. the landscaping there all as one project. Yeah. And we hadn't really thought about a temporary flagpole, maybe using the one that used to be in front of the old city hall, but...
Well, that's an option, I suppose. I suppose we could put the same one up, and we might be able to do that ourselves. Not
so
have to
take a look at it.
Yeah.
As Michael said, we haven't. As you're going to see with the budget, $2,000 is going to make a difference in some areas. And so mm-hmm. we'll check. We'll look and see what possibly can be done. But
I think we can wait for our monument sign more, that we can wait a bit for, but I think the flagpole is something that should go up as soon as we can. So, anyway, take a look at it, see if there's a way.
We can do that, Mike.
If we can't afford a flagpole, can we fly the flag somewhere off the building?
I'm sure that's another option I hadn't considered about.
Like for a government building, we should do something to fly flags somehow. Even temporarily, to get that. Well, there's no shortage of American flags. You can stand outside the building and see about five of them.
Yeah.
We'll do what we can.
Okay.
So other than New City Hall, my other item is a quarterly development report. We have been somewhat remiss this year, and here we are in the third quarter, and this is your first quarterly development report from us. There's a variety of reasons, but nonetheless, these may not look that familiar to you since it's been a while since you've seen one. And I apologize for that. But our quarterly report, we've basically summarized most of our data through the third quarter, so it's all generally aggregate. This isn't just what happened in the third quarter, but what has happened through the third quarter, ending at the end of September. It's been a pretty good year for residential units so far. We have 35 residential units so far, one commercial unit. The residential units year to date at the same time last year would have been 18, so it's a pretty notable change. One thing to be aware of there is that a substantial number of those in August was the reissuance of the permits for Marin. But nonetheless, they were units that were not going to be done, and now they are units that are going to be done. They were counted in 2006, probably, and now they're being counted again. But
how many are those?
Hmm?
How many do they amount to?
I think it's 12, but I'm not positive.
Okay.
And that's just for the second building. The third building has not been permitted, so it's just the one that's under construction now. Nice to see it being completed. It is typical that we record all of those numbers, and it's not unusual for something not to get built. It happens. The development is pretty well scattered, spread around the city. Single family, multifamily duplex units, a mixed use unit over by the Burger King area, and we have our first detached accessory dwelling unit, actually, which is just south of this building, and it's actually a garage conversion. So it's a little bit different than the standard cottage, but it's nice to see someone using that process. Actually worked pretty well, the review process on that. And one of the other things that's notable about this is the four units in West Blaine. And for a long time during the downturn, we didn't see any residential units in West Blaine. They just didn't happen. The units that were being built were almost exclusively what you might call starter homes, and they were being built in the East Blaine area. Now there's a little bit of a shift, and we see some other development activity, so four units over in Semillon.
Michael?
Yes?
That small cottage development off of Hughes Avenue,
right.
Is that?
Stonewood cottages?
Yeah. Are they building something there now?
The builder, the developer, is moving forward, and he is, I don't know exactly where he is right now in the process, but we've been in consultation with him regarding getting one building permit for a cottage and four foundation permits. Because of the way that property is configured, he'd like to do all the groundwork for five units at the same time, and probably only bring one of them all the way up early on, but that way not have to go back in right around that unit to do the other work. So yeah, it is moving forward.
Some activity over there,
but,
I noticed.
But Jim, it's you know, everything takes time.
So is that on here? Is that
it's not on there because it's not an issue. It's not an issued approved building permit.
Oh, okay.
Lots of different kinds of building permits. 75 building permits related for all variety of things, everything from single family homes, multifamily homes, additions, remodels, etc. Couple of building permits, re-roof permits, demo permits, and that has led to quite a few construction inspections for Ed. He is a very busy man these days. That's a good thing, but on the other hand, it leads to some potential challenges because he's trying to review permits, do inspections, get permits issued, all of that at the same time. We used to have two people doing that job. As things start to ramp back up, it's going to become increasingly difficult for him to stay where he is. On the plus side, have recently contracted with a building inspector who's picking up some of those permits, at least while Ed is on vacation this week. She's doing that, and Roxanne Michael is her name. Roxanne's a certified building official, and she will probably continue to work with us on if Ed were to get the flu. We would have someone, or when Ed goes on vacation again, and potentially may pick up some more sort of steady contract work to keep things on track. We'll see. That, of course, is a little bit of a budget challenge. And so those are the residential permits and general building permits. Now we move on to another aspect of the development report, which is land use permits. So these are things like subdivisions, short plats, any number of things before the building permit. The first one there is a shoreline substantial development permit was issued for the city for public works on Marine Drive. The city hall relocation is another one. We're big on our own permits this year. And then we have a conditional use permit for the 14th Street mixed-use project. Chattatai is doing a development and expansion. Chuck's Drive-In has a conditional use permit, no activity there yet, but they are at least legal as a restaurant now, and that was the owner's goal, to hopefully attract someone to open that restaurant again. Brickyard Cottages has a variance. As you know, it came to you as an appeal. And then we have a complete but not yet reviewed cell tower permit, a conditional use permit over by Northwoods Motel. And then the last three are a short plat, two short plats, both that create two lots, both actually more or less in the same neighborhood down in the Delia Bayview area. And a lot of development activity happening down there. I'm sure that some of you have noticed that, but it continues to be a hot spot. A lot of those lots are filling in pretty quickly. And we also have a permit in-house for site prep out over by, just across from Totally Chocolate on that corner that has the transformer, the big energy transformer on the corner of the property.
Michael.
And they're basically just prepping that site for future development. There's no development plan.
Could you give a short description of the 14th Street project?
Yeah, it's right across from, I guess it's a Nexon, I want to say, but next to the Burger King on 14th Street, north of the coffee shop. And it is a commercial unit on the ground floor and, like, offices on the ground floor, and then two apartments on the second story. And that is, it's already under construction.
Yeah, I noticed that.
And there's a map of those different things that I just mentioned. It's scattered all around, primarily in focused on the Peace Portal corridor, really. But it is kind of all around the Central Plain area. We've been tracking for a while and presenting to you the home occupation permits. It's starting to level off, as you can see, for the last several reporting incidences there. It's kind of leveled off, but it did spike for a while when we saw a downturn in the economy, a lot of people starting little home businesses. And then finally, the last sort of way that we track development is through wastewater connections. It never balances out with the permits issued because just things are moving through the system. Permits are buildings are being built, permits are being issued. But this indicates units that are completed. And there's 11.4 connections for wastewater, and all of those essentially are in either Central or West Blaine, primarily because there's more or less no sewer in East Blaine. And where there are, the houses have already been built. So we'll see connections, I'm sure, when the LID gets built for Vista Terrace. And then any sewer extension out the Mott's corridor would also probably change those numbers. But it's generally zero in East Blaine. Any questions on any of that report? Any other questions? So that's it for me.
Thanks, Michael. Let's see. Jeff, do you have anything?
Just a reminder, our first budget study session will be next Monday at 5:30, and we'll be covering the general fund budget.
Okay.
What time?
5:30.
This is an off Monday.
That's next Monday.
That's next Monday. Mm-hmm.
The 15th. Sherry is in California, or at least on her way. Probably there by now, but she'll be gone all week. I'm not sure when she'll be back next week. You know, the only thing I would just draw your attention to is that Youth and Government Day will be the 26th of November, and we'll continue reminding you of that. John Liebert continues to work with that at least for one more year, and so it's always fun. Other than that, do you have any questions on anything that we talked about or anything else? If not, that's our report.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. City Manager. There is no public hearing this evening. Next item is the consent agenda. And, they're looking for approval of payables in the amount of $157,197.78. Approval of payroll. And Jeff, are you going to provide the amount on that?
Yeah, the amount is $438,511.98.
Okay. And approval of the September 24th, 2012 City Council minutes. And Resolution 1612-12, the surplus city building and contents at 344 H Street. And the last one is the Peace Portal Trail Project Closure. Entertain a motion.
I move we accept the consent agenda. Second.
Any questions, comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries 5-0.
I just would like to make one statement about the surplusing. That does not imply that we have someone who wants to buy any of this stuff or that we have attempted to try to sell it, except for the chairs to the school district. But it allows us the opportunity to do that if, in fact, there is an opportunity. And we did the same thing with the airport, you remember?
Right.
We just surplused the land and, or surplused everything at the airport, including the land, so that we could sell it.
Yeah. Thank you. No questions. We'll move on to the city action items. One item on today's agenda, and it's the interagency agreement with the State of Washington Department of Enterprise Services.
That would be me.
You're going to handle that one, Raven? Good.
Well, I've been talking to you over the course of the last couple of months about performance contracting and the possibility of a Department of Commerce grant for that. We are now at the phase where, in order to submit for that grant, we need to do a detailed investment grade audit of our facilities. The way that this works is that the State Department of Enterprise Services actually pays the contractor. We would then reimburse the state. I've kind of laid this out a little, maybe in a little bit too much detail, but it's kind of confusing. The way that it works is essentially if we get the grant, the investment grade audit would get paid for immediately out of the grant. If we choose, after doing the investment grade audit, that we don't want to do this, even if they have a qualifying project, we would be on the hook for the $50,000. The only reason I could think of that would be the case is if they didn't somehow describe to Jeff and I in a way that made sense that they have a project that could pay for itself within 10 years. That's kind of their whole mojo in doing this investment grade audit is to see what potential we have in our facilities, whether it be deferred maintenance or just overall changes. And you had asked earlier about this building. The potential in this building is probably, aside from our wastewater plant, one of the largest in terms of the fact that it's an older structure with a lot of electricity things going on. And so they need to find projects that can pay for themselves with the energy savings. That's the whole point of the project. Even if we don't get the grant, if they identify a funding scheme by which we would, either through a state low-cost loan or whatever, pay for that within the first 10 years of the loan, again, the cost for this investment-grade audit would be deferred into that phase. So, again, the only reason why this upfront cost would, in fact, be borne immediately by us would be if we chose not to participate. I think being that we've capped it at the $50,000 level that we would be doing ourselves a disservice to not proceed because even to find out what potential our buildings have and do it through BPA programs, if nothing else, the money would be worth it. So I strongly recommend that you authorize the city manager to execute this contract. In it, I've copied the investment grade audit information, the proposal that we have essentially said, yes, that sounds like the right mix of things, right mix of buildings, as well as an announcement of the Department of Commerce grant. And again, that's a $500,000 grant, and that grant has a specific amount reserved for small cities, and as I understand it, we are one of very few small cities that are proceeding with this, so our chance at that $500,000 grant is very high.
Is this all the city-owned buildings?
Yes. Yes, we're looking at the Senior Center, Boys and Girls Club, the library, the police station, the Banner Bank building, and the Public Works building. In addition, the other, they're doing kind of a very cursory review of the water metering program and the power metering program, as well as a street light LED conversion. The reason for that, again, is to identify potential projects that we can use what we already have budgeted for 2013. We'll have continue our metering program in both utilities. Since those are already budgeted items and we include them in the grant package, it's going to show up as a higher match. So they have to include that in their report. So there's a small amount of work involved in that. All I can say is I've been incredibly impressed with the people that they pulled together, the people that they are bringing to the Lighthouse Point Water Reclamation Facility are essentially nationally renowned people in membrane treatment. And so we're not reinventing the wheel with what we're doing down there, but we're looking at ways that we can do it with a lower energy cost. And Lighthouse Point is the second highest energy consumer in the city of Lane.
Questions? Bonnie?
When you say project value, and ours is over the $6 million, that's the projects we have planned. We have over $6 million in projects planned.
Where are you seeing that? I'm sorry.
Well, the cost, the $70,000 cost, the project management fee, if it's over, I assume it's well over $6 million in project value.
No. We don't know what the project value will be until they do the investment grade audit. What the price that we negotiated was that $78.42.
Yeah, where did that come from?
If you look on the detailed investment grade energy audit proposal, it's in the back of that proposal. It breaks it out by facility. And so it's on the page 8 of 9.
Okay, I didn't look far enough then.
No, that's okay.
That front page.
Like I said, I didn't know whether to provide too much information or not enough, so I couldn't in either way. But this kind of shows you which facilities we're looking at and the, a broad view of the different proposals, facility improvement measure, FIM, that they're looking at.
So the chart I was looking at really doesn't pertain to us?
The what?
The chart I was looking at doesn't pertain to us, the chart on page.
What page is that on?
It's attachment B.
Yeah, attachment B, the fee schedule.
Oh, that is a, I thought about not including that. That is actually the state's, I'm almost there. That is the state's fee schedule. So the state, if you have a project value of a certain amount, so say we have a, $100,000 to $200,000 project, the state would have a $13,800 management fee. So this is just their fee schedule that they, so I think what I'm hearing that might be confusing is the $70,842 number. Mm-hmm. That's not the project value. That's the investment grade audit value.
Oh, okay.
From that audit, they will identify a project, and based on the value of that project, the state will have a fee. I have confirmed with the state, if we do not proceed with the project, there is no fee.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because their whole mission is to help agencies find ways to, A, do deferred maintenance, and B, save energy costs. So they're not out there for the fees. But if we do proceed with a project, and there is no way that it would be a $6 million project, say it's a $1 million project, what they would give us for $49,500 is essentially a full-time project manager. So it's a very reasonable fee for the service that they provide, especially in light of the fact that we're really doing this with very meager staff.
So it's $70,000 for them to do a study of all these different areas here for us.
Right.
To see where we can save.
Sorry, I didn't catch that.
I have a question. Where does the $70,000 come from? Where do we get that?
Well, like I said, it would either be identified in a long-term funding strategy. So our options would be either a low-interest loan with the state, or this is if we were do a construction project, or potentially a bond or something like that. If the other source of that money would be the grant, if we are successful in getting the grant. So we're not at this point in time.
Do the audit's going to cost us $70,000. May I understand?
That's right.
So where do we get the $70,000
from? The $70,000 would be, the payment of that would be deferred to the construction phase of the project.
Oh, okay.
And when they do that construction phase, it would be identified in the whole funding package that we would put together and present to you.
So we're not going to take $70,000 out of the general fund?
No.
We're not going to do it right away?
If there's no project.
If there's no project, I've capped them at $50,000. And what we would do, since this is benefiting so many different funds, we would have a low, if we don't do a project, which I think is unlikely in light of everything else, it would be a low interest loan from the Light Fund.
The Light Fund.
Mm-hmm. It is a complex subject, and I have talked to both the contractor and the state about coming and maybe doing an overview with you as they're getting closer to the end and are seeing some of these results, and they can probably better explain some of the financial options at that point in time. And I've talked to them both about if they'd be willing to come in an evening and do that for you, and they said you bet.
And
being probably mid-November.
You said in here you interviewed two state-approved energy service companies, and you selected Johnson Controls. Are there 50 companies that do this, or are there only two in the state?
There's more than two in the state. Those are the two that have an experience in the Whatcom County area, and because we want them to choose Whatcom County contractors when they're doing the work, we thought it would be best to choose a consultant that has worked in the Whatcom County area.
You're satisfied that Johnson Controls can do the audit to our satisfaction? Is that?
I am. They did an incredible job in the interview. Like I said, they have a nationally renowned expert in membrane technology looking at the wastewater plant. And it was really important for us to pick somebody that had that experience so they didn't try to reinvent the design or anything like that. And I also worked with Johnson & Controls for the project that they did in Bellingham. So I have a bit of a relationship with them, although it's a different project manager.
Yeah, there's no bidding process required?
There's not, since they're state approved. So it's kind of like we can buy a vehicle off a state list. This is a consultant off of their pre-approved list.
Well, it's a professional service, too.
Yes.
So it doesn't require a bid. Mm-hmm.
No, and it's weird. Performance contracting, when we ultimately negotiate a scope for a project, if they end up doing a construction, it's actually negotiated. And it's this is a specific type of project that's allowed to be negotiated in that manner by the state.
How long would it take Johnson Controls to do the audit? When would they do it?
They should have a fairly good picture of at least financially where they're looking by the end of November. The grant application is due the end of December. So what I had talked to them about doing is coming to a city council meeting probably in mid-November to do a presentation to you on what their findings are at that time, if that works with what we've got going on for budget. If not, maybe we would wait till December to do that.
This is pretty quick and dirty. You've got to get this in by the end of December.
Yes, sir. It's an aggressive schedule, but worth $500,000 in the long run.
Yeah, okay.
That might be a good issue for the youth and government day.
Yeah. Okay, I think that's a good one. If that gives them enough time, we'll wait till the end of November. So.
The end of
Johnson enough time to.
The end of November, was it?
Yeah,
November 26th.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they should have it by then. At least their schedule shows that they'd be able to do it by then.
Okay. Charlie, do you have any questions?
As we get the grant money.
Any other questions? So, the staff recommends that the council approve, authorize the city manager to execute the interagency agreement with the State of Washington Department of Enterprise Services. Seconded. Any other questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion is carried. 5-0. With that, we are through the schedule. And for council action items. Is there any unfinished business? Any council new business? Anyone have any new business they would like to bring forward? No. There are no mayor and council reports. I don't. Why do we have that on there? What is that for? The mayor and council reports. Do we have?
Seems a little redundant, but.
That's okay.
Oh well.
In case you forgot up on the first.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which is good for his Alzheimer's patients. Executive session, I assume we are not having any.
Well, I've recommended that we don't need one.
Okay.
The negotiation session is occurring Wednesday, 4:30, I think, at, I'm not sure if it's John Sitkin's office or Carlisle. But anyway, that session is occurring Wednesday, and then after that, we ought to have a pretty good sense as to where this might be going. I suppose that if there's something that we really need to deal with, we could call a special meeting for next Monday night and deal with it as part of our budget session.
Mm-hmm.
And we just need to notice it 24 hours in advance. So if something comes up that the council needs to be aware of or act on, then we can do it then. But that said, it's your decision whether you want to go into executive session. We're certainly happy to do it.
We don't need to.
I don't see any reason to go into executive session unless anyone else on the council thinks otherwise. With that, we'll bring the meeting to a close. Oh, good. This is going to be good. Okay. Yeah.